Basically, the more you roll the die, the greater likelihood that you end up with some level of return on investment. It's the exact same with PPC, except you're just buying clicks.
These are all tools. They're all tools, and they have pros and there's cons. Yes. You got to understand what the pros are. You got to understand what the costs are, and you got to use the right tool for the right job. If you got a hammer, don't just use the hammer for everything.
So anytime you do PPC, no matter how small the budget is, the expected value is going to be higher than what it costs.
Guys, welcome back to video 2 in this masterclass series. I'm here with Rob Wensley and Brandon Bateman, and we are breaking down everything you need to know about one of the most effective marketing channels, PPC. And on the first video, we did a really good overview. It was awesome because we kind of talked about why PPC and just really kind of the difference between inbound, outbound, and why PPC can be such a powerful marketing channel for your real estate business. On this video, I think the next step we talked about was, okay, when is it time? Because I think real estate, especially a wholesale business, the things you do is developmental, right? You start out and you're like working on that first deal. You're going to do a bunch of free stuff. You're going to be all that doing all the heavy lifting. It's like time, no money. But then hopefully you start to transition into building a real business. And where does PPC fit in that developmental journey for most wholesalers? So that's kind of the key topic we want to cover on this one.
I'm excited for this because Robert and I haven't even talked about this too much. We might even disagree.
And this is the number one question I get. And we talked a little bit about it in our video series. So I'm really curious to hear your take.
Yeah. I think, so in the last video, we talked about outbound channels, inbound channels. I think a lot of people just kind of like slowly work their way this way. Mm-hmm. One thing we have to remember is PPC is as far as you go this way. Yeah. There is nothing more inbound.
Meaning more high intent. Like the highest intent is... If you look at all the different marketing channels, PPC is the highest intent, meaning they're the most motivated leads that you could get.
Yeah. So then you have to think like, why don't you just start here?
Right.
The reason being, to be all the way over here, you need a lot of money, right? To be all the way over here, you don't, right?
Everyone would be over there.
Yes. So that's the thing. You also probably need some skills, right?
I was just going to say, not only money, but you don't want to waste that money. So you better have your processes dialed in. Or you're going to spend money and not close. Yeah, yeah.
You know what I love about what you teach with like realtor outreach, for example, is the reps.
Yeah.
You found basically a free way to get a lot of reps.
Yeah.
Every one of those reps, if it's a PPC lead, costs you a lot more money than it does if you're just calling realtors, right? So we have to be really aware of that, and that some people need a lot more reps and to build up a lot more skills before you start getting expensive leads and blow the money. And then the other thing is that channels that are more inbound are generally like, the way you get a deal might be through 10 leads, not through 40 leads. Yeah. And that's a great thing, but it also means that it's really easy to just miss the deal amongst those leads. And it also means that you're dealing with channels that tend to be a little bit more up and down. So you need more budget to really make it worth it. Or else you're just kind of riding this roller coaster.
Yeah. It's interesting. I met a wholesaler at a real estate speaking thing I did in Florida. And these two young wholesale partners, they come up to me and they're like, hey, we're working on our first deal and we have $20,000 that we're getting ready to spend on marketing. What do you recommend we spend it on? Like what marketing channels? And I was like, do not spend that $20,000 on marketing channels because you haven't even done your first deal yet. Like be very, at some point, you're going to spend $20,000 on marketing, but are you really ready right now?
Yeah. Like there's so many beginners that come in and I see the same thing with SEO. People are like, oh, I just hired this SEO company. I'm paying them $3,000 a month for SEO. Yeah. I'm like, oh, dude, you're not going to see like
for a year.
Yeah. And you're going to have to spend $100,000 to rank in your city. You're in a competitive city. Like there's no, like these other guys have been spending for years. You're going to be completely broke before you ever get an organic lead. Or they're like, I'm in LA. I'm going to go and spend $20,000 on Google Ads. I'm like, dude, when I was running ads in LA, we'd be paying $150 to $500 per call. Do you know what your call to close rate is? You don't.
Yeah.
Our guys are doing 1 in 10. But imagine like beginners, a lot of beginners, when guys would first come to the team, they would be more like 1 in 50. Right. So they're not, they got to earn their way to the Google Ads. If you go in and you're closing 1 in 50 and those leads are costing you $100, $200, $300, $400, $500 per call, you're just blowing through so much money. You're missing so many deals just because you don't know how to close.
I think, though, having said that, I don't think it's like I have to be super advanced, no. right, to start doing. I have one student, and he's part-time, does one wholesale deal a month, and he spends about $1,500 to $2,000 a month in PPC. So I haven't seen a whole lot of like that low of a spend. I know you recommend much, but he basically kind of closes a deal a month. You know, so anyway, there's kind of like, there's this developmental phase. And what's amazing is Brandon has the best eyeballs on this because you service so many wholesalers across the country. So you've got really good data on like the ones that are the most successful, how much they're spending to actually see a good return, what all that looks like. So what do you think, Brandon? At what point is it developmentally appropriate for a wholesaler to start a PPC campaign?
Yeah, let me start with another question that is kind of saying the same thing, but not in the same way.
Right. So in other words, it depends is his answer.
It depends.
That's my answer. My answer is it depends.
It depends, but we'll get down to some concrete stuff. I want to compare this to something we all understand a little bit better. So let's just say I've got this, to make it simple, we'll say I have a 10-sided die, right? When I roll this die, if it gets a 10, then I'll give you $10,000. But it costs $500 to roll the die.
Yeah.
Right.
It's game theory.
Yep.
So I got a 1 in 10 chance, but it's going to cost me $500 to roll.
What would you do? Would you roll the die?
I would, yeah.
If somebody came to you and they have $1,000, would you tell them to roll the die?
And it's all they have is $1,000?
It's all they have is
$1,000. No, I would not tell them to roll the die.
You would theoretically be a break even. Now, if it was $999 to roll the die, I would say yes.
Oh, I said it's $500.
Yeah, $500 I'm rolling all day.
Yeah. What if you only have enough money to roll it twice? You still rolling it?
No, you're not rolling it.
Because you have a 2 in 10.
So when we're talking about return on ad spend, basically return on ad spend is at the beginning, before you've actually had the numbers, it's all about expected value of the money that you're spending and your actual cost, right? So if I roll a die and I have a 1 in 10 chance of making, was it $10,000, right? That die roll, the expected value of it is $1,000 to me. The cost of it is $500, right? So if cost is below expected value, that's a smart move.
You should roll. That's why I was like, even if it was $999 to roll, I would roll it because my expected value is lower than my cost is lower than my expected value.
But then where things get tricky.
By the way, you guys just learned game theory. Okay. I had to go to Harvard to learn that. You're learning game theory right now.
Well, the thing is that we'll talk about
casinos later.
Maybe we should.
You know, a game theory has convinced me not to.
Yeah.
If you really understand it enough.
Yeah. Because they win.
Yeah.
They win, not you, right?
Exactly. Well, and PPC is different, right? Like a lot of times people think of PPC is like this casino where like, you know, because you could always highlight somebody who went in and won the jackpot, right? But what happens on average is what really matters. So that considered, it's easy when you're like, okay, yeah, I can make $1,000 and it costs me 500, right? Or I have a 1 in 10 chance of making 10,000. But then you have to think, how many times do I have to roll that die for it to actually be worth it for me, right? Where do you draw the line? If somebody says I have enough money to roll it 5 times, is that enough for you? Or 10 times or 20 times? Basically, the more you roll the die, the greater likelihood that you end up with some level of return on investment, right? It's the exact same with PPC, except you're just buying clicks.
So really what you're talking about is risk tolerance. I mean, what is your risk tolerance? How much are you willing to risk given where you're at developmentally in your business?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's like... Yeah. And as an entrepreneur, you're always trying to make the best option based on limited resources. How do I operate, get the best expected value given my limited resources? And when I allocate those resources, what are the costs if I misallocate? Right. So theoretically, you asked me a question actually earlier, if you only had it was a $500 to roll, but you only had $1,000, would you roll? Theoretically, you should. But the problem is if I'm a business owner, I roll it twice the amount of money. In an isolated game, you should. But if I'm out of money, then I'm out of business. Like, that's the reality. Now, in a non-isolated game where there's other games I can also play, what I should do is say the downside risk of that, basically, me being out of business is too high. Therefore, I need to play another game. And that's why you should go to outbound. You should do texting. You should do calling.
And that's where other options come in to factor.
Smaller games, right? Because there might be other dives that, you know, maybe you make less money when you when you get the right number, but it also costs less money to roll the die, right? And figuring out where
realtor outreach, you're going to make less per deal. It's going to take longer, but it costs you nothing.
Yeah, you're risking your own time. And if you have a lot of time, but not that much money, you have to play to your resources. Yeah. If you don't have much money, but you have a lot of time, don't do PPC.
Which is most people that start out. They have time, but no money.
Yeah. Yes.
Or some time, but no
the
money.
The exception is if you have someone like really well capitalized that's kind of moving into real estate. And that happens.
Yeah, and you'll see that. You'll see new wholesalers come into the space with really strong sales experience. I mean, Eric and Tony are a great example. They do two and a half million or whatever their first year, but they had business sales experience, and I'm pretty sure they brought some capital to the table.
So the way I think about it is, so anytime you do PPC, no matter how small the budget is, the expected value is going to be higher than what it costs. So when do you draw the line as to how much money you need to actually do it? What it comes down to is your risk tolerance and what likelihood. Because if you do that, if you play that game, but you only roll the die a few times, what's going to happen? You're going to have some people with really great outcomes where I made all this money with just a little investment. And you're going to have some people with really horrible outcomes, meaning I got zero, right? And more likely option is zero. And think about how much that resembles what you see with PPC out there.
You hear a lot of people saying, I hate my PPC manager.
And it's a lot of just like not giving it enough time.
Or I spend $5,000 and didn't get a deal. That's what I hear. I spend $5,000, didn't get a deal, and then drop the channel.
You're going to spend, in most major markets, when I was working in major markets, I would expect to spend between $4,000 to $6,000 on acquisitions per deal. But then I would return $35,000 on average per assignment fee. So I'm more than happy to spend $4,000 to $6,000 if I know I'm going to get $35,000 back. But I've actually been in the offices of some of the biggest guys in our industry during times that they're struggling. I've asked them, how much are you spending on Google Ads? And the last time I asked this, and someone that was really big in their office, they're like, oh, I'm spending $10,000 a month. I'm like, well, okay, you're spending $10,000, you're making $100,000. I'm like, that's really good. They're like, yeah, but we should be at $200,000 a month. I'm like, well, then you need to spend at least 20 grand.
Yeah, then spend 20.
Like you're just not, like, why are you not reinvesting it back? Yeah. You got to increase your budget, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. So the way that you could think about this is money and time are the two like currencies that you're playing with when it comes to PPC. My general advice, I'm a conservative person. I like to make bets that I know I can win. Yeah. Everybody else, like there's some entrepreneurs out there that are far more risky than I am. It's not my thing, right? So I'm going to give advice based on like how I would run a business. And maybe that's different from how you'd run a business, and that's totally fine. I think that you need, before the amount of money, the amount of time really, really matters, because you need time to pivot strategies and you need time to change things in your business. So I would say give it 6 months at least of runway with the new marketing channel. So many people that fail, they fail after 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. And if you stop,
you need to have enough dice rolls.
Yes. And I think given the same amount of money, like let's just say you told me I got $30,000. Yeah. I want to spend $30,000 next month on PPC. I tell you, that's a little stupid.
No, that's stupid. Spread it out across
$5,000 a month for over 6 months.
Yeah.
I think that's smarter. So if people actually follow that advice, it's good. The problem is I give that advice and they're like, oh yeah. And then after 1 month, they're like, it didn't work. I'm failing and I'm out. Right. So sometimes people's patience runs out before their money runs out.
Yeah.
And you have to be really mindful of that. And you have to really commit to this as a business owner. So if you accelerate it and you spend a lot of money really fast, do you technically gather as much data? Yes. Maybe with more of a diminishing return. But you do gather a lot of data, but you don't have time to figure out the business operations things. Or if there's something that's not dialed in quite right, you're going to waste a lot more money before the point where you've realized that that's the case.
Yeah. And that the other thing too, is the sales process on inbound from Google Ads is so much different. So much different than when you're doing outbound. Christian Ryerson, we did an office hours with him. He was really struggling, 100% outbound. And he had, I think, like 20 guys, including VAs and everything, that he was using to do his lead gen. At peak, he was doing $250 million a month. Then we went to Q4, Q1, really tough. He was down to 50, and it was costing him more than 50 to run the operations. He's going negative. He's like, what should I do? I'm like, dude, you just need better leads. Go spend some money on Google Ads. So he spends money on Google Ads. And what happens? When he's taking the calls, he's doing one call close because he doesn't have time. He's a business owner. He's just trying to close them on the first deal. And he's closing them. When he gives the leads to his guys that have been working with him for years, they're used to 6 months of follow-up. Yeah. They couldn't close any of them. So he said, I don't have enough time to close these all myself. Let me go bring in a brand new guy that has zero exposure to this industry and just tell him, you got to close on the first call. So he comes in and the guy, he's like 19, 20 years old. He starts closing all these deals on the first call. So then the next month, he fires his entire team, everyone. Because he tried to get them to do the one call close. He tried to train it. He tried. They couldn't do it. So he just fired them all. He said, look, all the leads are going to you. You're doing acquisitions. And I'm going to do dispo over 200, back to over 200,000 a month the next month. Yeah. It's so different. It's all about speed. All about speed, solving the problem. They're coming to you with a problem. Give them a solution right away.
Well, you got to remember, they probably filled out three more forms, or they called up because they're high intent. So they're desperate, right? They need to get a solution. So if you're not able to lock that thing up real quick, you're going to miss it.
Yeah,
totally. You got to be ready for that for sure. I would say figuring things like that out in your team, it takes a little bit of time, right? If you just spent like $100,000 his first month, probably would have wasted $100,000, right? So you need to be a little bit slow, but you have to be patient. So that's why I would say like non-negotiable, give a new channel six months of runway. And then as for what your budget can be on the channel, usually we don't recommend anything lower than $3,000 if you're talking about like ad spend and management fees and everything together. But most people are going to fall somewhere between $5,000 and $15,000 a month that they're starting out there. So that gives you an idea, right? You say $5,000 a month, 6 months.
So 30, okay. You need 30 to 90,000 cash in the bank before you're ready.
That you're ready to invest.
Ready to invest. And you also need to be able to close, right? But if you have 30 to 90,000 in the bank, you know how to close if you have that much cash sitting around. Okay, so presume you know how to close, 30 to 90,000. I think that's reasonable. Yeah. I think that's reasonable.
You're gonna disagree with us, Jerry?
No, I just, the question I'm having is there ever a situation where PPC just isn't the right marketing channel? Are there markets? Are there times where after 6 months you're like, no, this channel's not working in this market? Or is it always a good channel and there's some kind of breakdown that's happening even after 6 months? What's your thoughts on that?
I can answer that. And some of it has to do with like your team dynamics, right? For your team, it has to work. But we're just assuming you're willing to make changes there, right? So if you're willing to make changes there, then I love the little like snippet you gave about urgency, Robert. We're going to do a whole video later talking about like that and several other principles of lead management that you have to nail. Yeah. So assuming you're doing that, the only thing that really remains is your market. And that there absolutely are some markets where it's not a good fit. So
do you ever turn away someone and you're like, I really don't think this will work well in that market?
Tiny markets.
Okay.
Those are the ones that are
tough. We talked about that a lot.
Oversaturated markets maybe as well, or what do you think?
You know, I love a saturated market. I love like where the bar is high and you have to compete really well. Cause if you're really good at managing PPC, that's not a problem.
Okay.
So I don't have a problem with that. What I have a problem with is tiny markets. Yeah. So
like, I hate tiny markets too.
I'm more afraid of a little MSA with 250,000 people in it than I am of LA. Yeah. And it's different than what people are used to. Cause usually the way it works is like these tiny markets, that's where you find that your direct mail has a really awesome response, right? That's where you find that your cold calling is easier and stuff. So you have this low cost per deal in those other channels. But then we have like a lot of clients that have a really high cost per lead in tiny markets compared
to- Because
there's
no volume. There's just not enough people searching how to sell my house fast.
Yeah, and we'll talk about- inventory. Yeah, we'll talk about, how PPC works in some videos later in the series where we can dig into like, and then if you really understand it, you understand exactly why. But the main thing is, if you're sending direct mail to someone who doesn't have a lot of postcards in their mailbox, you're going to have a higher response rate. But in PPC, where there's not a lot of inventory available, it's harder. So that's where people are surprised that we might have double the cost per lead in Richmond, Virginia, what we have in Dallas-Fort Worth.
Well, and it's deceiving too, because your cost is so much lower because it's a bidding system, right? So then you'll have wholesalers like, man, I could go to rural and my cost is so low. Well, yeah, but your response is also so low, right? You know, like there's a trade-off for that.
So
it's attractive on the spend for people to do that. But then they're like, now they're frustrated that they're not getting that return.
Yeah. So the main thing you need for PPC is just a lot of population. So it's not even like small market, big market. It's like you could choose small markets and you could choose 50 of them. And then you have a lot of volume available and you could crush that. Or you could choose one big market And we'll talk about some of the strategy as to what you choose and what you don't. But if you're just like a wholesaler that is used to doing like direct mail and texting or whatever the case is in a market with 250,000 people, sometimes those people get a little bit shocked by how high the cost per lead is in PPC when you're just constrained to a small area. And those are like an example of a situation where I think no matter how much you have your team dialed in and everything, it's probably going to be an expensive marketing channel for you. That doesn't mean it can't work. We have clients in really small markets that are really happy. But it's mostly in that case that they're just looking for like the maximum volume they can get in that market. And usually PPC is going to be one of the more expensive channels unless you've pushed all the other ones to really high diminishing returns.
And what do you think a market size should be for PPC to be effective?
If we've got less than 250,000, we call that a micro market.
And
we're like, we probably won't work with you unless you have like an insanely high tolerance for cost per deal.
And on Dispo, look at counties, any counties less than 500,000 population. We're like, don't even bother. There's no money made. We've looked at all the numbers. We got 7 billion data points in the database. Yeah. And we found that those counties with sub 500,000 population are the number one killer of wholesaling businesses. Now, I'm telling you that based on 7 billion data points. So when you're thinking about it, and when someone tempts you with it and is like, hey, we're going to do a bunch of small markets because there's no competition. Don't. It will kill your business. Don't do it. It's insanity.
It's so true, Rob.
Two of the biggest guy on acquisitions, biggest guy on Dispo, telling you based on all of our data, we have more data than anyone else in the country. Don't do it. Biggest mistake you'll ever make.
And I'm living proof because I launched this model earlier in the year where we were buying a lot of auction properties.
I remember that.
On all the auction sites.
Remember what I said when you wanted to join InvestRef? Yeah. I said, are they rural? That was the first question I asked you. I said, are they rural? Yeah. Like, some of them are rural. I'm like, those are going to be tough.
Yeah. And what was happening this is on auction. It's on all the big. So it was Zohm, auction.com, Hudson & Marshall. And we were buying them at such massive discounts, like 30 cents on the dollar.
Yeah.
From like what we normally do. Okay, let's comp it, right? And we were getting these and I'm like, dude, we're buying these so steep. We go to Dispo.
No demand.
Crickets. Like, yeah. Cause there's just not enough cash buyers in that market, in those tiny markets. That's so we learned real quickly, no, that's not a good model.
Yeah.
No matter what you can buy them at, if you can't Dispo, what's the point?
Yeah.
I'll give you one exception, Robert. I have a client right now with a 20x return in really small markets, but they bring everything to the MLS.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's you have this one. I agree with that.
So when I couldn't Dispo these, I took them down and listed them and we did okay. Yes. Right. So that's true.
That's good. You can novate
not
them.
Wholesale.
Not wholesale.
Yes.
If you novate, but then you know what happens when you're going to MLS? What happens to your cash conversion cycles?
It lengthens. For sure.
Oh, and your cap and extremely capital intensive.
Super capital intensive. And the amount of people it takes to do a deal. Yeah. Now you're back to all the same problems
and you're outbound. Sucked back into flipping because what I ended up doing was trashing them out. Yeah. Now there's an inspection list from a buyer.
You're back running a business I would never
this
wish.
This is not wholesaling. Yeah. I realized real quickly, this is not wholesaling. This is flipping.
Yeah.
That's not what I tried to set up here. Nothing wrong with that, but it's a totally different model.
You have to know what you want, right?
Let me ask you this. Was that I believe that 100%, that operator guaranteed is making less than 200,000 per month, correct?
It was right around there.
Right around 200? Yeah. That's where they tap out.
On 10 grand on ad spend.
Yeah. They tap out around 200,000 a month.
It's a hard thing to scale.
You can't scale it.
Yep, you're totally right. So it's a different business model, but if you are going to do that, because you'll hear about people like Nick Perry, for example. Yeah. Classic example of somebody who is known for going really rural.
Yeah.
I know you and I both know Nick fairly well.
Every time I go, I was just down there with him last month and I'm like, Nick, what is this insanity? What is this insanity? We can literally double your business by changing markets. And he actually agreed with me. Now he's pivoting. Okay. He's pivoting to major markets. Yeah. Finally.
Yep. And I'm curious to see how it goes for him. Cause I also know people who do really well with the more rural thing. I think the sweet spot there is Novations. Because like you mentioned, really capital intensive. You don't want to be in the flipping business and stuff. Like Novations, you don't need as much capital.
Yeah.
It still does create a lot of moving parts, a lot of complexity, and a longer cash conversion cycle. So you have to know what you're getting into.
So we track on InvestorLift the number one reason why people are going out of business. Because when people leave InvestorLift, most of the time when they leave InvestorLift, we'll always call them and be like, hey, why are you leaving? Did we screw something up? Like, could we have done anything better? Like, you're leaving us. Why are you leaving us? We want every customer for life. And most of the time they're leaving because they're actually out of the game. So we say, okay, why are you out of the game? And then they'll give us a scenario and then we track all of that in our systems. So last year, the number one killer of wholesaling businesses was going too rural with their markets. That was the number one killer by far, just by far. This year, there's been one that surpassed it though, and that's Novations. Because people are going to Novations and they're doing direct to MLS. That's the new fad. The fad last year was going nationwide. Everyone's trying to go nationwide without understanding rural markets. The fad this year is going direct to MLS on everything without understanding the impact of that on your cash flows. And they're going cash broke. All these guys are going cash broke.
Got a lot of deals in the pipe, but no cash.
What's interesting is Q1, we lost a lot of guys because they went cash broke. Some of them are starting to come back now. They're starting to come back and they're starting to get back in the game. So that's good. But you gotta, these are all tools. They're all tools and they have pros and there's cons. Yeah. You gotta understand what the pros are. You gotta understand what the costs are. And you gotta use the right tool for the right job. If you got a hammer, don't just use the hammer for everything, right?
And don't crutch. You know, like if a wholesale operation turns to just Novation, then now what they're doing is they're taking the easy layup rather than holding out on the low price, right? Because they get some resistance. They say, okay, we'll just novate this one. And then they take the higher price and then it's stuck on the MLS and doesn't sell. And you know, like you just tied it all up.
But there's ones that you should 100% novate. Like the one that we sold yesterday with your students, like that.
Perfect deal.
If the seller wanted to novate that, 100%.
Easy.
All you gotta do is change locks.
Yeah. So some deals fit it really well. Yeah.
100%.
Agreed. So let's bring it back to, you know, the actual the purpose of this one. So would you add anything else for like if you're ready or not?
I agree. My general, like if someone came to me, the way I looked at it was, okay, find out what the cost per lead is in your market. Okay. Let's say the cost per lead is $250. Okay. And you can find that out really quick. Just ask your buddies in your market, hey, how much are you spending per lead in your market? Or you can estimate it. You know, the bigger the market, the more expensive it is. Like LA could be $500. Also depends on the intent of the keyword, right? Yeah. High intent keywords, way more expensive.
Yeah, or Phoenix, you know, some of those markets.
It depends on spreads more than population is what I've seen, because it's an auction system. So people are willing to pay more money in LA where a deal's worth
100%.
A lot more money than it is in Indianapolis, which is a decent sized market. That's just a low spread market.
100%. So what I would tell people is look at what the cost per lead is in your market, or you can come up with an estimate pretty quick by looking at cost per clicks and your conversion rates, things like that. You can calculate them pretty quickly. And then be honest about what you think your lead to deal conversion rate is going to be, right? Like, are you going to close? You're probably not going to close 1 in 10 right out the door. You're probably going to be 1 in 15, 1 in 20, because you're learning. It's a new way of closing. Okay. So if it's $250 a lead and I'm closing 1 in 20, I know I need to spend at least $5,000 to get one deal. Okay. And then I would tell people, you know, 3 to 6x that. Right. So that brings me at, you know, the 15 to 30,000. I'm like, and then you should at least get one. And if you don't get one, you have no hope. Then you should pack up your bag.
And you would tell them spread that out over a certain time.
Spread it out, obviously, because you got to get the data. And so very similar. I think my number was a little bit lower than your number. But there's still, if you did the 15 to 30, even if you spread it out, there's going to be some people that don't hit it. 30 to 90, you're 100%. Like if you know how to close, you're 100%, like should have it rolling by then.
Yeah.
Mine is like I feel like you could start 15 to 30. You just got to understand that like this is a long game. This is not like a quick, fast, easy money.
Yeah.
So I think though, as a general rule, it's sounding like Brandon, like, you know, be ready to spend at least $5,000 a month. Be ready to do that consistently for, you know, at least 6 months, dialing in all along the way, making sure that you're paying really close attention to those close ratios. Right. But if you're not in a place where you can't do that right now, if you can't invest that, because that would be an investment now into your marketing. If you can't invest that, it's probably not time to start PPC.
It's the equivalent of paying $500 to roll that die once. And you know, you're still investing in something that should give you a return. You're just in a situation where you're going to win big or you're going to fail. Yeah. And
so
personally, I don't like to be in those situations. Yeah. You know, I like to be in situations where I know that I'm doing everything right in long enough and I'm just going to be so consistent with this that there's no way I can fail. Like that's
part,
my
part of this is some self-awareness. Like you have to evaluate. I talk a lot about this on my channel where everyone has a risk tolerance. So if you're right now currently at like a level one, right, then you don't want to put yourself in a level eight. It's too much. You're too anxious. You're not ready for that. Yeah. Put yourself in a level three when level three becomes your new comfortable, go to level four. Like risk is something you want to graduate to as you're going, you know, yeah. That's how you do it smart.
You have to know yourself. Cause if you're going to take a level seven risk, but you're only ready for a level four, what's that going to look like? It's going to look like you start to roll that die. And then after you knew, right? You budgeted out, I'm going to roll this die 20 times and I've got this really great chance of making this money. Yeah. But then two times in, you get scared and you bail and you seal your fate as a failure in that thing. Because if you quit when it's not working, you're always going to not succeed.
It's for sure going to fail.
Yes, exactly.
As long as you know the rest, like, if you're a high risk taker, you can take the risk, but just understand you might not hit 10.
Own it. I tell people own it. Like people do all kinds of crazy things. I'm like, they'll ask me like, should I do this? Should I do this? Should I buy this $1 million house and rehab it and maybe sell it for $3 million? I'm like, maybe, but like whatever you decide, own it. Like
own the downside.
You made the decision. Be okay with now the downside. Own it.
Yeah.
If you can't own it, then the answer is no, don't do it.
Yeah.
My perspective, I mean, you find lots of people who succeeded like that. So I'm just going to like share like the opposing perspective.
9 out of 10 times it doesn't work out.
And you don't hear about those as much.
You know, like, yeah, those are really success stories.
So here's kind of how I think about it, right? It's about business for me is about staying in the game more than anything else. If you're in the game, you're exposed to opportunities and you're also exposed to risk. So I would never take a risk that would like wipe me out and not give me an option. Just because game theory.
I don't make those moves anymore. Why? Because my company is really valuable. I made those moves like year one.
I guess when you have nothing to lose.
Yeah, like, I'm like, I'm already 8 months into this. Like, whatever. Like, if it goes to zero, I was at zero 8 months ago. Now I don't make moves like that.
Yeah, but if you look at like game theory, basically, if you're playing an infinite game and somebody else is playing a fixed game, you're always going to win. So I'm all about taking risks, but I never make a risk big enough that it's going to wipe me out.
Yeah.
Because the real way to win the game is to stay in the game long enough that you can keep on taking those smart bets and eventually you'll win one of them. And it's a little bit slower, but
the better long-term strategy.
But it is true. Like I have this, I teach this thing where it's like, hey, if you make 5 offers a day, 25 a week, 100 a month, you will get a deal. Like a bona fide, legit, here's a number in front of a seller or an agent, because it's all now a numbers game. You've rolled the dice 100 times.
Yeah.
The stars are going to align. You're going to talk to the right person at the right time who's motivated, and they're going to say yes to that low offer. It will happen. And I challenge this to people, and I've never had somebody actually do it and it not work where they got a deal within 100 offers.
Yeah. No, the problem is they get bought into that. And then 3 days in, they realize this is a lot of work.
I'm offer 29, they quit. Yeah.
Or with PPC, they realize this is a lot of money and I don't want to do this. Or they even have been through, I see this is a really common mindset thing with people. They've been through what you're talking about. So, but you have to realize like what lessons, like entrepreneurship in a lot of ways is about unlearning the lessons that you learned at your last phase to get to the next phase. So that lesson tells me like, I got to hustle, right? And then we get these people that like come into this next phase of their business and all they know is like, just work really, really hard and you'll make it work. And then PPC feels really uncomfortable because you start spending a lot of money and you're literally just sitting there just waiting for these leads to come to you.
For the phone to ring.
Yeah. And a lot less of them will come to you than do before. And then people want to start like changing things in their campaigns like every day. Like I need to like raise the budget or add this market. Or they're like calling up their agency, like getting upset about like this thing or that thing. And because they feel like this like it's need pressure to take action.
Yeah.
So it's so interesting because so many people that we work with have been through what you're talking about. And like that teaches you a lesson. And then you get past that and you need that at the beginning. But PPC, it's like, it's really difficult for people because like you have to take so little action. It's really hard for a lot of people to stomach that I'm just sitting here just waiting for people to come to me.
Especially if they're outbounding all day long.
Yeah. It's a magical thing when you really think about
it.
But it's like,
it's a patience game.
Yeah. My COO always says that stress is just what you experience between needing to take an action and actually taking that action. Yeah. Right. And a lot of people get into that mode and then they start being stressed about PPC, but it's not stress. It's actually anxiety.
Yeah. Which is a difference. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is a real difference because stress means you have to do something. Anxiety just means you're worried for no reason and you just kind of have to accept things. Right.
Yeah.
So it's a lesson to unlearn.
And then like 90% of the time, the things you worry about never actually happen anyway, you know? Stress. Yeah. So true. Stress. Well, good. Well, this is really helpful to really understand more around this idea of like when it's time. So I hope you guys have a really good now overview of like, okay, am I ready? Am I not ready? I got to consider a handful of things. But now once you make that decision, make that commitment, own that decision, and now start to, now you're going to become a master of PPC, right? You got to learn the things you need to learn to really do that marketing channel well. So we're going to do now some more videos. What's our next video, Brandon, in the queue that we want to focus on?
We're going to talk about how Google actually works. I want to demystify this a little bit because I know a lot of people talk about, well, this is what the results could be or something like that. But if you don't really understand the root of the system, then you can't succeed.
I totally agree.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about that. It's going to be a little bit more nerdy. Yeah. This might be like less interesting on the surface than some of the other videos. But I think if you truly understand these concepts, then you're positioned well to actually succeed.
Yeah. It's kind of like you know, you have to do long form math before you can do it on your calculator.
Yeah.
Because you have to understand how it works. Yeah. Otherwise, you're not going to know what to do on your calculator, right? I think PPC is much like that. You got to really have enough of an understanding of how the algorithm works, what's going on. Doesn't mean you have to now do the long form, right? You can have an agency, right? But you need to understand the mechanics of how this works to really do it well.
Absolutely.
So we're going to cover that in detail in the next video. Guys, we're going to put some resources in the description below. There's some, Brandon's got a toolkit that's going to be really amazing to help you start to do PPC at a higher level. And also some information about how you can learn more from Brandon and get more advanced training. So we're going to put that all below. Check that out. Again, Rob, Brandon, thank you so much. We'll see you guys on the next video.